Welcome to the Rock Music Alliance interview sessions. I'm your host, Cole Coleman, along with keyboardist Claudio Pesavento, who's from Mahogany Rush and the Chris Squire Band. On our show today, you know her primarily as a Playboy Playmate model, but she's also an actress, a columnist, writer, and the author of her own book called Unrated: Revelations of a Rock and Roll Centerfold. Welcome to our show, Kerry Stevens.
Thank you so much for having me. This is long overdue.
Well, thanks for being here. Kerry, you seem to have a lot of things going on, a lot of projects. What is your latest, your most current project?
Trying to get this freaking thing off the screen that's telling me this meeting is being recorded so I can actually enjoy it.
Got it.
I just had to click got it and it went away.
I did say that too.
Yeah. Okay. So here I am. And it's nice to see you again. We did NAMM together. That was April, right?
Yeah. April. Boy, time flies.
Yeah. That was a great time, though. Thank you having, I mean, it was just so nice to be social and be around people and see so, well, a lot of familiar faces and meet a lot of new people. I had a really good time. So what am I doing since? Oh, that's an interesting question that nobody probably wants to hear. But I have not been well, like for a couple of years. I've had a lot of problems. So I actually took matters into my own hands, and I am studying now to be a functional medicine nutritionist. So that's what I'm mainly doing is saying
interesting
to everyone who couldn't help me and helping myself.
So you're rock and roll. Yeah. So your main project is really just health.
It had to be. I had to make my health my priority. As you know, I almost couldn't make it to NAMM because I was I don't want to turn this into a health podcast because it's not, but my symptoms were changing. One problem caused another, and the medications made things worse, and no doctors seemed to be able to
find the problem,
help me with what's most important, and is that's what you put in your body nutritionally. So I've decided to go down that path. So I'm also still, obviously, there was a huge strike. I think most people are aware, or is it just LA people? The writers and the actors were on strike for many months. So it gave me a nice little window to be able to reflect on what's next for me and my future, and if I still really want to do that or not. And I do. I do still love to be on camera. I love acting, and it's all I know. I've been doing it since I was 19. Successful since I was 19. Doing it since I was 10 when I did my first commercial. And in small town Massachusetts. So I've come a long, long way. And it is still my passion, but I think everyone these days, whether you're a musician or an actor, like you have to have more than one skill. You know, I remember like when I first started being an actress, when I came to LA, like you were embarrassed to say you had to have a waitressing job. And now like everyone has to have four jobs to make a living. So
I hear you. Yeah, but you know,
the world has changed. The jobs don't pay what they used to pay. Sometimes there are none, and I still love doing it. My type is not in style, like a middle-aged white woman, or like, sorry, but we're not cast. I don't even bother with the commercials or modeling anymore because it's just look at any magazine. I'm so disgusted, and I don't care, like, air this. Why the hell are we promoting obesity? You know, like every time I look at online out, or I walk into Target, or like something, there's giant posters of extremely overweight women, and it's just not healthy. So I understand that you should not judge people for how they look, but like, it is absolutely wrong to make that standard. Oh, and another thing, they're replacing females with males in ads for makeup. So
I haven't seen that one yet, but wow,
like,
huh?
I'm all for progressiveness, but when I'm being replaced, you know, like, it stings a little. I'm the least judgmental person in the world. Like, I want, I could care less who anybody has sex with or what they do in their privacy, their home, you know. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with dressing like a woman. I get it. But it's like kind of like the supermodels, not to say I was ever a supermodel, but like, we've been pushed out of the way. And like, now when you look at ads for things, it's kind of like the more like chubby you are, or the more tattoos you have, or the more like piercings. And people always ask me, why aren't you so talented? Why aren't you beautiful? Why aren't you working? And I'm like, well, maybe if I shaved my head and tattooed my whole face and pierced like everything I could,
California,
and gained 100 pounds, then I'd be in style again.
I think the producers of the shows and commercials are the theory I think behind is that they're trying to target, you know, mainstream America,
pushing the
mainstream masses, you know.
They're sheep. They're following a trend right now. It's just a trend, and the trend is going to end. The reason that I'm not afraid to stay an actress is that you can stay old, ugly, you know, like, you can get fat. Like, you can, as an actress, like, that's all okay. You know, that's all okay. It's a beautiful time to be mulatto, or, you know, it's a beautiful time. Like, I wish I was a light-skinned Black girl, but unfortunately I did 23andMe and there's none of that in my ancestry.
Hey, Carrie, you know, as I was,
I'm not offending anyone. I hope people understand my humor.
How did your modeling career actually begin? Like, what was the moment where that happened?
Well, it's a long story, but my little career happened when I was 10 years old in Massachusetts. And one of the parents of a few of us little girls used to drive us an hour away to Worcester to go to John Robert Powers modeling school. And then when I was 16, my mother had some friends come up to her and say, your daughter's, I don't want to sound conceited, but this is the truth. They would say, your daughter is beautiful. Like, she should be modeling. And nobody knows how to be a model in Massachusetts. So she, again, sent me back to John Robert Powers modeling school. And then she kicked me out when I was 17 and made me move to Memphis, where my dad was living and working as a scientist. And there was a John Robert Powers modeling school there. So I continued my education in modeling. And that's where I met all of my rocker chick friends. And that's how I got, that's why I'm on your podcast. The little start I had by going to modeling school didn't amount to much. And when I came to LA, basically I came here on vacation for a week over the holidays while I was in college. And I came home and I couldn't focus on school anymore. All I would do is stare out the window and dream of the Sunset Strip. I just could not, I couldn't focus anymore. And then the final nail in the coffin was when Eric Carr called me, because we had hooked up in Memphis and we stayed in touch. And I told him I wanted to move to LA, and he warned me, what happens to nice girls when they move to LA? And he also told me that he was going to be in LA to record Hot in the Shade. And my little mind went ding, click, okay, I'm going. So, he actually tried to talk me out of it. explaining, and he was right. He actually was right. And I think about that a lot to this day. Like, what would my life be had I listened to him? Had I stayed in college, and I was a journalism major. I wanted to be Barbara Walters. I didn't want to be Carrie Stevens. I wanted to be Barbara Walters. And he did. He tried to stop me, and I didn't listen because I just wanted to be with him. And then when I was with him, one night, we were, or was it the afternoon? I don't know. We had sex like all the time, like countless, who knows how many times a day. But he had mirrors on the ceilings and on the walls. And one day he said to me, he said, "You know, you look like one of those girls." And I said, "What girls?" And he said, "The ones in the magazines." And I'm like, "What magazine?" And he said, Playboy. And he said, "You should talk to Shannon Tweed. She'll help you." And I was terrified of Shannon Tweed. So I was not going to, even though I'd met her, like, terrifying. She's terrifying. So I was way too young and shy. And like, it took me like another decade before I had the nerve to actually try out for Playboy. But like, yeah, it was actually Eric's idea. I finally auditioned on my, when I was 27, and 3 months later on my 28th birthday, I was Miss June 1997. And I talk a lot. If anyone bothers to read, which no one does, the articles, they just look at the centerfold and the pictures. If anyone actually reads my interview, it is all about Eric. And I do talk about him and give him the credit. And he has been by my side, walking with me. Do not make me cry in this interview, because I do this in everyone. But I've always included him in my life. Always. Because I've always had such gratitude for him. Because we, you know, like, he saw something in me, and he wanted to lift me up, and he wanted to make me better, you know, than even what he saw in me. And that is the definition of love. The definition of love is when you want to make somebody better, not bring them down. You want to lift them up. And it just breaks my heart because, you know, I just don't know if I'll ever, I shouldn't go there. All right. I just appreciate him so, so much. And that's why I always include him in everything. And every relationship I've had since, yes, I have been accused of living in the past and not letting go. And you try living in my shoes. You try letting go of somebody like that. I will not. Sure. So my way of giving back is keeping his legacy alive. And
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we'll touch again on that just a little bit later. You know, for our listeners, just in case you don't know, you know, Eric Carr, of course, is the drummer from the band Kiss. And so that's who we're talking about here. But take a breath, Carrie. And I wanted to ask you how your television career really took off, or your acting career in general. So can you take us through that?
That, like, I'm just going to keep talking about Eric. It was so cute. Like, I remember my very first, it's a not a well-known series, but it was called Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Like, it was a network show. It was my first audition, and Eric actually like came on the Sony lot with me. Like I remember everyone staring, like, there's the drummer for Kiss, like, at this audition, like, what's he doing there? And he used to remember when faxes, there was a way to fax. So yeah. When he was on tour with Kiss, I would fax him it's called sides, your pages for your audition that you have to learn your lines. So I would fax their hotel, my sides. And after the Kiss shows on the road, like, he would read my lines and practice my scenes with me before my auditions. Yes. Are you understanding now? Like, why
very nice.
This man so much? Yes. I'm sorry. I'm like tearing, but it's like, I don't know. I've never met anyone since that was willing to do that for me. I don't know if there's anyone that exists, but he's the reason that I never gave up, because I felt like he believed in me so much that if I gave up, like, I would disappoint him so much.
I've got it. I understand. There's people like that, of course, you know, that you come across in your life, and they're incredible people. They have such an energy and a depth about them. And of course, you're going to carry that moment and carry that person with you all the time. So I understand, you know. Now, you've written a book about your life as a Playboy model and your time with Eric Carr, you know, the drummer from the band Kiss, and it's called Unrated Revelations of a Rock and Roll Centerfold. Yeah. So tell us about the book and what sort of stories people will read.
You know, you'll read a lot of my stories, but I swear, like, every day I'm in the shower going, I forgot to say this. I forgot. Like, I could write another one, but I'm like, well, no, you can't write like a book two, things I forgot to say. But yeah, there's just like only so many pages you can include. But I didn't want to make it a book specifically about Eric Carr, because, to be honest, you know, that was only 4 years of my life. Some of the chapters, I believe, are, depending on who reads it, even more interesting than the ones that I wrote about Eric. Originally, when I wrote the outline for my book, Eric was supposed to be one chapter. And you know what? He just kept coming up. He kept just like he is in this podcast. There's actually only one chapter he's not mentioned in, because he just kept coming up as I was thinking and writing. And you'll understand when you read it. But he influenced my life greatly, or he wouldn't be in every chapter except one. I want to be the same girl that Eric fell in love with. I want to be that same girl. I don't want to be the girl that went through all this shit since he died. No, I want him here to still love me and protect me like I had when he was alive. And I've had to live without that, only wondering what could have been had he have been here. So, you know, yeah.
He's still with you spiritually. Mm-hmm. He's still with you. I mean, even if he's not.
I think he's definitely saved me. And sometimes, like, things happen, and I know I have a guardian angel, and I think he does watch over myself and my son.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Attention guitar players, join the thimble slide revolution and free your slide finger.
The thimble slide is a mini guitar slide designed to be worn on the tip of your finger, about 3/4 the way down your fingernail. When worn there, you can still bend your finger, and most importantly, it's allowing enough of your fingertip through so you can press the guitar strings. The thimble slide is larger at the back and smaller at the front, so it follows the contour of your finger. So when you're wearing the slide, it's not loose or rattling around on your fingertip. This also allows your other fingertips in nice and close for playing. The sizing gap allows you to make the slide a little bit larger or a little bit smaller for a nice custom fit.
So while you're wearing a thimble slide, you can, of course, use it as a slide. But more importantly, it allows you to still fret the strings so you can play the guitar. You can play chords. You can play lines while wearing it. You can bend strings with your ring finger. You can drag your fingertip across the strings if you need to. You can do pull-offs, hammer-ons. So there you go. You can actually still really do all the things you need to do to keep playing guitar. It's like,
with its patented shape, you can slide and fret while wearing the thimble slide. Visit thimbleslide.com. That's thimbleslide.com. On your website, you know, people can buy your photos, right? They're signed photos. They can get an autograph.
Yeah, but I have like a million more that are not on my website.
Oh, okay.
Because I never update my website. So if anybody wants a particular photo of me that they happen to see on the web somewhere, they can just info@carriestevens.com, send me a message. That's the best way to do it. And
That's very cool. I want to mention that again. So she's saying, if you come across a photo on the web of Carrie, and there are quite a few, and you like that photo, send it to Carrie. She may have that photo.
Well, if not, I can make them one, but yep. It's just that updating the website to sell photos is just sort of not my thing.
Yeah, no,
you know,
I understand.
Like you need a
webmaster.
Are you offering, Claudio?
Yeah, Claudio's offering. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I have 12 billion photos. Do you realize that? Like, it's not like I only have six. You know, like I have like every week there's more and more and more. And I have an OnlyFans page, so I have content for that going up all the time. It is not porn. Don't go there if that's what you want. Don't expect any dildo crap going on. Like, it's just Playboy style. And I actually like make some good like friends, like there's nice people on there. Like I don't mind chatting. No, believe it or not, I think I get the rockers. They like to talk about music with me. And whenever I do a video, I do it to a cool rock song. And I think I've like got this niche down, like as, you know, the girl with good taste in music, because like guys like rock and like most girls have shitty taste in music, but I'm a rocker chick. So yeah, I do that. And that's, you know, it's not like my main passion or anything. It's just kind of like really easy. There's just certain people who appreciate me for the career that I did have. And mostly like, you know, people that know me from Playboy, and they just like to, I don't know, stay. Some of them are much younger than me, and they're like, oh, you're the first girl I ever saw like nude, and I never forgot you. And you're like, you know, and like
that's understandable. That's understandable. They're your fans, you know, and you know, I remember your pictorials when they first came out, but yeah, you know, breathtaking photos.
I don't think there's anything wrong with, because believe me, once in a while I go, oh my God, how did my life turn into this? Like, I'm on OnlyFans. But do you know that when you look at the industry, what I was telling you earlier is that men in makeup, like drag queens and very overweight women, and nobody, I'm not going to play the race card, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, just like, unless you're a famous movie star, like you're really not in style anymore. Like, to me, you're like,
it's hard.
It's the modeling industry. Instagram basically ruined it in the first place, by the way. Instagram replaced agents. So I used to have agents that negotiated my jobs, and I had my rates, and I had like, then when digital came in, that really started to ruin things. Then Instagram ruined them worse. So like, I didn't really fit in anywhere, actually. And Hugh Hefner saw something special in me, just like Eric Carr did. And I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful for, you know, the times that I had. And that's why I wrote a book, and I'm so proud of myself because I actually, to be honest, I'm a person that doesn't finish things. I'll like sign up for a series of yoga or Pilates or, you know, like screenwriting class, or I'll do things like that, and I never finish. So I'm actually very proud of myself that I actually finished writing the book.
And you should be proud. I got to say, it is an accomplishment. I mean, anybody out there, you know, for musicians, you know, when you, the equivalent is writing an album, you know, writing and recording an album. It's an ordeal, you know, for anybody. You know, to write and record a song is one thing, but to do an album is another. And to write a book is yet another, you know, so you can be very proud of yourself, Carrie. Very proud. Yeah.
I'm very proud of myself for finishing something I started, period.
Yeah.
I signed up for a yoga class like 2 months ago. I still haven't been, but I've contacted a couple of my musician friends recently. It's probably something I shouldn't pursue, but I want to learn to write songs because I love to write, and I've always been a poet. I was published in high school as a poet, so I think I could be a good lyricist. I don't know if it's worth me diving into, but I
do it. Asked,
well, just maybe do it. I would love to learn how to do that.
So it's always good to cast your bread on the water and try new things. I do have to say, in at this moment in time, I mean, it is damn tough to make any kind of money at all in music unless you get to the point.
That's why I'm saying I don't know if it's worth my bother. Because even though like I have a passion, like I told you recently, her name is also Carrie, but she's an airline pilot for American Airlines. And she asked me what my dreams are. And I'm like, I don't have any. And because none of the dreams that I have are ones that will make me a living. And the ones that I feel like I've reached the pinnacle of the times, for the times that I was in them, like when I was Miss June 97 and the acting and all the things that I've done, I feel like I did take, I don't want to limit myself. I know I can be 90 and I don't really see myself being Betty White or anything, but like, you know, like I don't have dreams that I feel are feasible. Like I feel like, yes, I could, I dream of being able to write a song, but how am I going to make money at that? And I see my son actually, who's in college, going through the same thing. He would have loved to be in the music industry. He would have loved to have a career in music. I sent him to School of Rock from the time he was 8 years old until the time he was 13. And he said, I'd love to go in the music industry, but I don't see how I'm going to make any money at it. So he's into aviation. Now he goes to Embry-Riddle Aviation. He's in airline management, so he'll be able to make a living. As far as I go, I'm like, well, you know, I hope Eric continues to watch over me and save me, because I picked some very unstable businesses to be in. And I'm actually pretty darn lucky that I can still prance around in my panties at this age. And not that I want to do that, but it's actually the only thing that makes money, and it is fucking disgusting. I'll tell you, I looked at my back end tonight on KDP, which is Amazon's self-publishing, and the amount of money, I think I made $3.15 on there in the last 2 weeks, and $3,500 on OnlyFans. So I don't even have to do anything, by the way. Like, you know what? When we get off this podcast, I'll probably like sweep the floor and wash the dishes in my underwear and like make a few $100. It's so ridiculous. And it's making me angry.
That's where you have a big advantage, you know, there, because like nobody wants to see me walk around naked. So,
well, yeah. That's probably true.
Yeah, hey, just make it happen, you know. I can take photos.
I would like to be valued for other things besides my ass. You know, like I would like to be valued for if my writing, like my acting, my like something else. But it seems like all anybody cares about is seeing me naked. And you know what? I only have so long before I'm not going to look naked any good naked. I'm fucking lucky. I'm 54 that I can even like pass for good looking good naked. So
I think your biggest dream now should be.
It's just like, do you understand how insulting it is? Like when I spent 3.5 years writing a book and in the pandemic, in the first 3 months I was on OnlyFans, I made way more than I made on that book. And I don't even do porn. Like I don't show anything more than I already showed in Playboy. I don't do anything. I would probably be making a shitload of money if I did, but I have some morals, and believe it or not, I don't know how I still have any morals and self-worth in this world that doesn't have any, because my son and I talk about this all the time and his generation has none. Like they just have none.
Well, my dream is to be healthy. So I have one dream.
Well, you know what? If you have your don't have your health, you have nothing.
Nothing.
Which, do you know what?
The old saying.
I've been in touch with. Sorry, I'm hot. I keep playing with my hair. It's hot.
Sure, sure. We're coming up to the end. So.
Yeah, it's you know, Claudio and I have been in touch a lot about health and our health issues, and yeah, it's my quality of life basically the past couple of years, I've lost track how long now, has been, because it started pretty much around the pandemic, but afterwards, and I'm sure the stress didn't help, but you know, if you do not have your health, you have nothing. And I am actually extremely grateful, even though I just bitched about making money on OnlyFans, because I would rather be a real model like I used to be, but that kind of doesn't really exist too much anymore. But I am so grateful that it exists, because there's been so many days, sometimes months, where I could not get out of bed. Like I literally could not get myself up to do even a self-tape photo shoot, never mind a professional one. And I had to leave the site many times and just not post anything for a month here or there. And it's hard. I have to go on and explain, like, I'm sorry, like I've been absent and here's free memberships to the first 100 people that join. But it's like, but you know what? How else, like while I've been home and sick and there was a strike with the actors, even if I did get a job, I'm like, I was afraid I'd actually get one because I was too sick to do it, you know? And then, seriously, like if it wasn't for that online work, well, you know what? I wouldn't have had any at all. So I shouldn't complain at all. You know, I am grateful it exists. Before 2020, we didn't even know about that. It wasn't even an option.
Yeah. But we got to wrap it up, folks. But I wanted to mention, anybody hanging out here at the end, you can keep in touch with Carrie at carriestevens.com. You can get her book on Amazon. You can get her book on her website. You can get wonderful photos, beautiful portrait photos on her website.
On the website, you just have to hit memoir, book, whatever, that tab.
Say that one more time real quick.
Oh,
yeah, when you land on your website, go to memoirs.
Yeah, you just have to hit the little tab that says, I can't remember if it's book or memoir. I don't know. I don't know my own website. I'm sorry.
They'll find it. But there's a lot of ways to check out Carrie. Like I say, there's photos, there's her book, and she's got her OnlyFans. So be sure to keep in touch with Carrie at carriestevens.com and social media. Thanks for being on our show, Carrie.
I am Carrie Stevens XO. We'll
Cole Coleman. And for Claudio Pesavento, the Rock Music Alliance, and the RMA Awards, thanks for watching and listening. Visit us at rockmusicalliance.com and check out this year's RMA Awards for rock, metal, and progressive rock music.